Bay Hills Community Church is pleased to have you with us as we conclude our series, The Story of David. In our study today, we find in David's life what we find in our own lives. We have to learn how to deal with jerks, those difficult, draining, dysfunctional people in our lives. Lead Pastor David Fossil guides us in our look at 2 Samuel 16 to get some pointers for everyday living. Listen as Pastor Dave gives us some steps to take to keep our lives on an even keel, even when those people upset us.
Oh, about a month ago, the school that rents from us at the Hilltop property, they put on a really nice luncheon for us. They wanted to kind of show some appreciation for the work we'd done there. And so they made us this really delicious kind of Indian Pakistani food. And so we were there. We were all eating, the staff and their staff, we're all having a good time. Afterwards, I went up. I appreciated them. I thanked them. And I went to the office, grabbed my stuff, went to the car, was going to work in my office at home for the rest of the day. Then I realized at that moment I didn't have my phone on me. I was like, I got to go back and get it. No big deal. It's at the table where I was having lunch, right, with my co-workers, I just might add. And I went back there, and only to see our student pastor, Dave Sauer, with my phone in his hand, doing something to it. And I go, dude, what are you doing? He goes, nothing. And he had that stupid grin on his face. You know what I mean? We've all seen it before. And then he added, it serves you right for leaving your phone here without a password protection on it. I go, what'd you do? He goes, I'm not going to tell you. You'll find out. You'll know. Whenever it happens, you'll know it's me. About 20 minutes later, I'm in the car, right? And I call Sandy. Except instead of Sandy answering, this is what I heard. 911 operator, can I help you? Now, normally, you know me, I don't have a lack for words. And I kind of was like, for a second and a half, I was like, And then I realized what had happened. He had gone in, erased her number, and put in 911. Now, you know me, I quickly recovered. And I added, is it 911 operator? 911 operator, can we help you? I said, I am the senior pastor of Bay Hills Community Church. One of our staff members we think has a gun or a knife. Please come quickly. His name is Dave Sauer. I didn't say that. I didn't. I wanted to say that desperately, right? The next time I saw him, I did say something to him. One word. Jerk. Right? Look at what we're talking about today. Grab your study guide. How to deal with jerks. Now, I'm having fun with Dave. We like giving each other a hard time and teasing one another and such. I could have been a lot more pastoral in my title this morning. I could have talked about difficult people and draining people and dysfunctional people. But this word, the word jerk, carries with it a connotation that all those other words don't, right? And so we're going to talk about it. We are wrapping up our series today on the life of David. We have skipped more than we've covered. So there's so many more stories in there, but we've covered a chunk, right? It took us all the way through the summer. Today's the last day. Don't miss next week. Bring a couple friends. It'll be super interesting. We're going to talk about how to deal with jerks, how to deal with difficult, draining, dysfunctional people in our life. If you have a Bible or you have it on your phone, 2 Samuel 16, page 316, if you're using a church Bible. I do not have the verses on the screen. I'm going to read them here. Right out of our Bibles, I always encourage you to have your own and make little notations, marks, and notes in the margins. 2 Samuel chapter 16, and we're going to read the entire story in my Bible, starting in verse 5. It is entitled, Shimei Curses David, okay? And we're going to read all the way to verse 14. 2 Samuel 16, starting in verse 5. As King David approached Bahurim, a man from the same clan as Saul's family came out from there. His name was Shimei, son of Gera, and he cursed as he came out. He pelted David and all the king's officials with stones, though all the troops and the special guard were on David's right and left. Verse 7, as he cursed, Shimei said, get out, you man of blood, you scoundrel. The Lord has repaid you for all the blood you shed in the household of Saul, in whose place you have reigned. The Lord has handed the kingdom over to your son Absalom. "You have come to ruin because you are a man of blood." Then Abishai, son of Zariah, said to the king, "Why should this dead dog curse the Lord, my lord, the king? Let me go over and cut off his head." But the king said, "What do you and I have in common, you sons of Zariah? If he is cursing because the Lord has said to him, 'Curse David,' who can ask why does he do this?" David then said to Abishai and all his officials, "My son, who is of my own flesh, is trying to take my life. How much more then this Benjamite? Leave him alone. Let him curse, for the Lord has told him to. It may be that the Lord will see my distress, repay me with good for the cursing I am receiving today." So David and his men continued along the road while Shimei was going along the hillside opposite him, cursing as he went, throwing stones at him, showering him with dirt. The king and all the people with him arrived at their destination exhausted, but there he refreshed himself. If you're jotting down notes, here's the first principle we're going to talk about today. How to deal with difficult, dysfunctional jerks. Don't be surprised when they show up. Don't be so surprised when they show up. Okay? Now, to give you some context, if you notice in your Bible, in chapter 15, we have the story of Absalom's conspiracy. Absalom is David's son. And through different events, Absalom, the son, has overthrown his father and has now taken over the kingdom. He's trying to kill his father. We talked about a dysfunctional family a couple weeks ago, right? That's what's happening now. So David has fled the city with a few of his trusted men, a few of his soldiers, the captain of his guard, and they're heading out of town to try and regroup. Then they're going to regroup and counterattack and try and get the throne back. But as they're heading to this city where they're going to be safe, they're walking along this path, and apparently this guy by the name of Shimei, he is above them, up on another ridge or up on another pathway, and as they're walking, he starts cussing at him. At the king. He's cussing at the king. Cussing at the president would be our equivalent. Then he starts throwing rocks and dirt. Some commentators think also cow and dog doo-doo at the king. Right? That's Shimei, okay? Here's point number one. Don't be so surprised when Shimei shows up in your life. Don't be so surprised when difficult, draining, dysfunctional people, when jerks show up in your life. It's called life. Everywhere you go, there will be difficult, draining, dysfunctional people. We live with some of them, or they're part of our extended family, right? We get to be with them for Thanksgiving. We can't wait, right? We work with them. We go to school with them. We drive on the highways with them, shop at the grocery store with them. Everywhere you go, you can and you will find difficult, draining, dysfunctional people. In fact, I'm surprised you're so surprised when they show up. Like somehow or another, this isn't normal. No, abnormal would be for everyone in your life to be godly and holy and wonderful. That would be normal. Okay? Or abnormal. Okay? What is normal is for us to be surrounded by people like Shimei. That's normal. And they come in all different shapes and sizes, right? They act all kinds of different ways. Let me just give you a few. Let me show you real quick. Okay, let's put it up on the screen. You've got chronic complainers, ball droppers, brown nosers, prima donnas, whiners, martyrs, perfectionists, overreactors, nitpickers, overly sensitive, control freaks, hypocrites, backstabbers, slave drivers, blame shifters, interrupters, perpetually tired, never happy, always happy, unreliable, super needy, time bombs, hotheads, killjoys. Do you know anyone like that? Don't you just want to turn around and stare at them right now? I know you do. Right? Now, I've not given you any coping mechanism yet, right? Other than a very important one. Expect them. Expect them. If you go through life and expect everyone that surrounds you to be good and normal and godly and wonderful and joyful, you're going to be sorely disappointed. Expect them. Don't be so surprised when they show up. Does that make sense? It'll put you in the frame of mind to then do so much more with what we're going to study. Okay? Second principle is this. It requires being aware of your emotional balance sheet. Now, let me talk about what I mean here. In life, there are two types of people. In our story, other than the king, there are two primary characters. There's Shimei, the difficult, draining, dysfunctional person, the jerk of the story, right? And then there's this other guy called Abishai. Abishai is the captain of the guard for David. It's his personal security. It's the secret service guy. And what you have to do when you're reading through this story is you have to understand the comparison and the contrast between Shimei and Abishai. And here's what I mean. In life, you're going to have people like Abishai that build you up, and you're going to have people like Shimei that tear you down. You're going to have people like Abishai that encourage you, and you're going to have people like Shimei that criticize you. You're going to have some people that have your back and others that want to stab you in the back. Some that fill you up and others that drain you dry. Some are like Abishai, encouraging, some like Shimei. They're just draining, and frankly, they're just jerks. They're two different kinds. Now, by the way, when you bump into the Shimeis of the world, the difficult, draining, dysfunctional people, that list that we just looked at, when you run into them, what is our instinct? What do you want to do to them? It's interesting what they wanted to do to him in the story. Look what Abishai wanted to do. Why does this dead dog curse my lord the king? Let me go over and cut off his head. That's what we want to do, except we live in a more civilized society and we're not allowed to do that, right? So we snap at them verbally, right? Or we want to smack them upside the head a little bit, right? Or something like that. Speaking of smacking upside the head, I had this situation that happened to me this past week. It started out difficult. We had a memorial service for Tommy Green, funeral service. Terrence's dad, Audrey's husband, he passed 2 weeks ago. Praise God, about a year ago, he accepted Christ. And so we went through that process, but then we went back to the house. And you know, that's always a time of refreshing and talking and hanging out and remembering Tommy's stories. And this tells you a lot about Tommy and Audrey. A neighbor donated all the food, made Mexican food for everybody. And they had a grill in the back, and I mean, they did it up nice. So it says a lot about that family and what they thought of them. And it was good, authentic Mexican food. And we were there and we were eating. And I had more than I should have, and a couple quesadillas and some tacos and everything, you know. And about 30 minutes after I had eaten, our church administrator, Brigitte, showed up. Okay? She shows up, she goes to the grill, and I'm right there. And the cook, right? She says, the girl's going, what do you want? And she goes, do you want a torta? Do you want a torta? Now, if you've ever been to a Mexican restaurant, you know that torta in the South American world is Mexican cuisine for Mexican sandwich. That's what torta means. Mexican sandwich. Where I grew up in Spain, that's not what the word torta means. Completely different words. So when the cook asked Brigitte that, I just broke down laughing. I thought it was hilarious. In my country, Spain, you want to know what torta means? To slap someone upside the head. Literally one of these. Right? So the cook asks her, do you want a torta? And I'm like, can I give her one? I'll give her one. I'm just teasing with Brigitte. I don't want to do that because she'd probably beat me up. So, that's what you want to do, don't you? You want to cut off their head. You want to slap them upside the head, right? You want to throw them a sarcastic verbal jab at them. That's your instinct. And the reality is that some of us are here and you're about ready to snap. Because the Shimeis of the world, the Shimeis in your life are driving you crazy. And what I want to help you understand is that the reason you're so close to snapping is not because you have more dysfunctional people in your life than the rest of us do. The reason you're about ready to snap is because you don't have enough Abishai's in your life. You see, Abishai's job was to protect David. His job was to keep him safe, to keep him secure, to keep him comfortable. Abishai was to David someone that he could lean on, someone he could depend on, someone that could help him with his problems. That was Abishai. And the answer to how do I deal with jerks in my life, how do I deal to dysfunctional, draining people in my life, is not to get rid of them, because you can't. That was point number one. The point is you got to find some more Abishais that build into you, that encourage you. Does that make sense? You're hanging out with too many Shimeis. You can only hang out with Shimei too long, right? Even with me, I mean, I love people, but there are some people I can't be with too long because they're draining, you know, mainly second service people, not you, right? You guys are awesome. Okay. Could I ask you a question? Who's Abishai in your life? How many do you have? How many do you have that build you up, that encourage you, that motivate you, that strengthen you, that push you to be a better you? You laugh with them. You enjoy life with them, right? If you had to pick, sure, I want to hang out with Abishai more than I want to hang out with Shimei, but that's not how life works. Everybody lives together. Everybody interacts together, right? At work, you're going to bump into Shimei tomorrow morning. At school, tomorrow morning. But you got to find some more Abishais. Many of you know my degree in college was business. Let me give you a business principle that's going to apply to relationships. You ready? If withdrawals exceed deposits, overdraft is inevitable. If withdrawals, what you take out, exceeds deposits, what you put in, overdraft relationally is inevitable. You're going to snap. You're going to snap. You know what? This is not me trying to advertise small groups, but that's one of the side effects and benefits of small groups. Because more often than not, you find a bunch of Abishais in small group. More often. Every once in a while, Shimei will show up, but you got to love on them too, right? It's all right, right? And if you are part of a small group and you're like, there's no Shimeis in our group, guess what? You're it. I'm just saying. Let's quickly move on. This is going to fit right in. Point number three, be honest. Point number three, be honest. Sometimes you're the pain in the neck. Okay? You say, ouch. Yeah, but it's true. It's interesting what commentators say. Because commentators evaluate the words of Shimei. And you know what they say? Right? Shimei says to the king, get out, you murderer, you scoundrel. You know what commentators say about Shimei? He's not all wrong. He's not completely right. I mean, he's not completely right, but he's not all wrong. See, week number one, David, a man after God's own heart, right? He writes half of the Psalms. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He's a wonderful spiritual guide and leads us into the presence of God. But he also could be a jerk. I intentionally have added some of those stories in this series. He's the same guy that seduces another man's wife, has an affair with the woman, and then figures out a way to kill the husband so he can have her all to himself. Same guy. Same guy who decides he wants to build the temple, and God says, I don't think so, time out. You are a man of blood. You have shed so much blood. I'm not going to have you as the general contractor on my temple. Same guy. Same guy. See, One of the things that you need to understand right now is that the number one most difficult, draining, dysfunctional person you will have to deal with is you. We love to always point fingers at other people, but here's what I need to have you understand. Be honest. Sometimes I am the dysfunctional person. I am the difficult person. I am the jerk. I am the pain in the neck. Turn to the person next to you and say, the pastor's talking about you, but he's also talking about me. Go ahead and do that real quick. Go ahead. It's going to feel good. Get it off your chest. Oh, we're leaning over, telling two or three people over in this section. This is exciting. Okay? If you're sitting by yourself, go find someone. Go tell Terrence that. He needs to understand that everyone... See, this is kind of awkward for me because I like to think of myself as a positive teacher, as an uplifting teacher. I want to see the best in you, right? But right now, the best thing I can do to help you is to help you understand sometimes you're the jerk. You're the difficult person. You're the draining, dysfunctional individual. It's you. right? By the way, in your study guide, I included, but we all like you. We think you're heading in the right direction. You get two thumbs up, but sometimes it's you. You're the issue. You're the problem. And having the courage and maturity to admit that is important. On the backside of your study guide, Paul says in 1 Timothy, Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Yep, amen. Now look what he adds. And I'm the worst of them all. He has the courage to admit this. And too often we go through life only noticing and only identifying other people's issues and other people's problems, right? I read this illustration a while back, and I shared it with some of you. Let me show you what some of us do. Some of us go through life, and we got a magnifying glass. And we are looking at our spouse and looking at our kids and trying to find an issue and trying to find a problem. And when we do, we magnify it. And then we go to our boss and we go to our coworkers and go, oh my goodness, look at all their issues. And then we go to our classmates and we go, they are jacked up. Look at how much problems and issues they have, right? And then we go to our president and our country and we figure out all the things and we identify it and we magnify it. And way too many of us are walking around with a magnifying glass. And what I'm suggesting is you need to use something else. Instead of this piece of glass, what you need to do is you need to pick up one of these. By the way, this is not my hot pink mirror. This is my wife's. I know some of you are wondering. And instead of looking at everyone else's issues and everyone else's problems, you need to look at yourself. Does that make sense? You know, I'm not one to quote Michael Jackson, but I just heard it on the radio, Man in the Mirror. I never really heard the words. I'm starting with the man in the mirror. I'm asking him to change his ways. If you want to make the world a better place, take a look at yourself and then make a change. I kind of have a feeling Jesus was saying the same thing when he said, what the heck are you worried about the speck in your brother's eye? They've got an issue when you've got a plank in your own eye. See, this is us having a maturity to admit, you know what? Sometimes I'm the pain in the neck. Sometimes I'm the difficult person. Sometimes I'm the jerk at home and at work. Have the maturity to admit that and do something about that, okay? Don't be surprised when they show up. Be aware of your emotional balance sheet. Be honest that sometimes you got main issues. Point number four is change your perspective. Change your perspective. Try to see things from their perspective. Put yourself in their shoes and then give benefit of the doubt if you can't figure it out. One of the things that I learned years ago from a pastor that I had in college, and I still remember when he said this, is that so often when people are difficult, when people are dysfunctional, when people are hurtful, they're not being personal. It's not really you. They would bite at anyone that came on their way. See, the reason people are hurtful is because they're hurting. Something, normally, not always, sometimes, it's because something is going on in their life. You may not know about it, but something's going on and it causes them to snap at you. By the way, why did Shimei snap? It's in the story. Verse 5, Shimei was from the same clan as Saul's family. If you know the story, you'll remember that Saul was the former king. Former king. And David comes to the throne. Now, in those days, when it's not like a presidential election where it's fairly seamless in the transition. In those days, the new king would kill off everybody in the family of the old king. Kill all the brothers, kill all the kids, kill all the extended family. Why? Because you never wanted someone from the former king ever stepping up and going, hey, he shouldn't be king. I should be king. I have Saul's bloodline in me. He shouldn't be in charge. I'm taking over the throne. You didn't ever want that to happen. So you would go about systematically eliminating everybody. Now, when you read the story of David, he does that to some extent. He does what was done back in those days. In other cases, he doesn't do that. But imagine, put yourself in Shimei's shoes. Imagine if you, your relative, was the king. Your relative was the president. We don't know if it was a distant uncle or, but they were related. And if my relative is king, my relative is president, there's got to be some perks that come with that. Maybe I get invited to the Christmas party at the palace. Maybe I get tax breaks. Maybe before the government is doing some big construction project, they check with all the family members, right? Do you guys do concrete work? Do you do decks? And they give all the contracts out to family members. There's got to be some perks. At the very least, you can brag about it and put it on Facebook. But in his mind, life's good. When Saul is king, life is good. And then Saul falls out of favor with God. He's taken off the throne. David becomes king. And all of Saul's family kind of go into hiding and disappear. Imagine what Shimei was going through. And that's what I want you to do with people in your life that are difficult and dysfunctional. See, you don't know it, you don't realize it, but that classmate that's driving you crazy, mom and dad are fighting a lot and they're about ready to get a divorce. And your classmate is breaking down in tears at night because their family is falling apart. You just don't know it. Your coworker that's difficult, you don't realize it, you don't know, but they've just experienced a loss. That person you sit with in church, just last week they had a really bad news from the doctor. The neighbor that you can't stand, they're upside down on their mortgage. They've received notices they might lose their house. That good friend of yours that's on edge, you don't realize it, but they're a Niner fan and they know they're going to have a horrible season. I mean, there's always something going on. Sorry, that's just slipped out. Okay, let's get serious. Come on, quit goofing off. You don't know what's going on. And that's my point, right? You might never know what's going on. I read a story, one of those Dear Abby stories. Someone sent me the email. I thought it was very interesting. It was from someone who worked at a supermarket. And they were complaining because they were saying, you know, there are people that are buying luxury items with food stamps. That shouldn't be happening. You know, if someone needs food stamps, we completely understand, but not to buy luxury items like cakes and like shrimp. They shouldn't be doing that. That's what they said, right? A couple weeks later, they received a response to what was written, and this was the response. I was the one that bought the bag of shrimp with my food stamps. My husband has been working at the plant for 15 years, and they shut it down unexpectedly. I decided to make him a shrimp casserole to try and encourage him, as well as to celebrate our wedding anniversary. Next letter. I'm the woman who bought the $17 cake and paid for it with food stamps. The cake was for my little girl's birthday. It will be her last. She has bone cancer, will more likely be gone in 6 to 8 months. Well, if I would have known that, then I wouldn't have, been giving them such a hard time. But see, that's the point. You won't know that. You're not privy to all that information. So my point is, put yourself in their shoes. And if you don't know the story, give benefit of the doubt. You need to go into life and they cut you off on the highway or someone snaps at you at work or someone at home. Something's going on in their life. And I'm going to cut them a little bit of slack. You do to them what God does to us and what you want others to do to you. Right? You give benefit of the doubt. And even if you discover, you know what? Nothing is going on in their life. They're just jerks. Extend grace. Give grace because that's what you want from God. When I'm a jerk, when I'm a sinner, you know what I want from God? I want him to give me grace. And he expects his children to do the same to others. So try and change your perspective. Put on a new pair of lenses. And sometimes, every once in a while, you're like, oh, that's why. That's why they're acting the way they do. And if you find out, sometimes you can try and help. Or it allows you to be even kind to them when they're mean. But more often than not, hurting people hurt people. Last principle. Always remember that God's in it. Remember that God is always in it. Now, notice I didn't say God is always for it. Big difference, isn't it? God isn't for people hurting you. God isn't for people taking advantage of you. God isn't for people making your life difficult. He's not for that, but he's always in it. Every single time, he's always in it. And that's the spiritual perspective that David has in this situation. I've highlighted it for you. He's talking to his men, and he's like, listen, my own son wants to kill me. So let's put some things in perspective. And besides, I got the feeling that somehow or another the Lord has said to him, the Lord has told him, the Lord is in it some way, somehow. And I can't completely figure it out, but I'm not going to lash back. He's in it some way, somehow. Now, well, why? You know, maybe God's trying to teach you something. Maybe he's trying to stretch you. Maybe he's not trying to teach you or stretch you at all. Maybe he just has this individual, this difficult, draining, dysfunctional person, and he needs somebody to love them. And he thinks, you know what? I got a perfect person in mind. You. I don't know. But understand, we are to look at life from a different perspective. We are to understand that God's not sitting on some recliner chair in heaven waiting for what we're going to talk about next week, the end. He's actively involved in our lives. And while he may not be for what is happening to you, he is definitely in what is happening to you. Don't be surprised when difficult people show up. Be aware of your balance sheet, and you may need to add some people that build into you because you're not going to get rid of the difficult people, right? Be honest. Please be honest. Sometimes we're the ones that are the problem. Let's work on ourselves. Number four, change your perspective. Number five, remember that God is always in it. Now, whatever you do, and I hope you apply two or three of these, right? What's interesting is you can do everything God wants you to do, and that's not a guarantee life gets better for you. You know that, right? It's interesting. Did you catch how the story ends? David does all the right things. Watch how the story ends. Let's put the next slide up there. The king and the people and all the people with him arrived at their destination exhausted. And isn't it true that difficult, draining, dysfunctional people are exhausting? They are. It's exhausting to be around certain people. Here's the promise. The promise is the last little phrase in the story. But there, he refreshed himself. God will give you fulfillment. God will give you satisfaction. God will whisper into your ear, well done, good and faithful servant. You're handling life the way I want you to handle it. You're treating people the way I want you to treat people. Okay? Let's stand. We'll close in a word of prayer. I will let you get going, and we will see you next week. Let's pray. Father, we want to thank you for this series. We want to thank you for all the different things we've looked at, character issues, family issues, dysfunctional issues. Today, difficult people. There can't be something more practical in our life. Within the next 30 seconds, some of us are going to interact and bump into people that are draining and difficult in our lives. Some of us are going home and we live with them tomorrow morning. Some of us work with them. We go to school with them. Father, remind us of the principles you've taught us this morning. So incredibly helpful, so incredibly practical. We love you. We thank you for what you've taught us this morning. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
It's our hope that today's podcast has enriched your life and answered questions you may have had. If you'd like more information about what was said in this podcast or about Bay Hills Community Church, you can reach us on the internet at www.bayhills.net. Bay Hills, located in El Sobrante, California, exists to help everyone take their next step closer to Jesus. Thanks again for listening.